Okay, a few more applications of the Malach of Topher before we get to Koreh proper. And some people raised the question of zippers the other day. So on the one hand, you can look at the zippers in the same way that we looked at buttons, meaning that they're clearly not making the fabric one integrated piece because you have that seam that's created by the zipper. But you could also suggest, you could also see the other side of the coin, that when the zipper is closed, you really have accomplished just that. You're taking one end of the fabric and the end of another fabric, and you're interlocking them so closely that they can't be pulled apart without ripping the fabrics, which is unlike the button. The button, as we said, if you pull it apart, the buttons are just going to pop off. But it's not like you're going to create any damage in the fabrics themselves that were joined together. If you would tear the zipper, it's not so easy to just pull it apart. It's not just going to rip at the location where the zipper is. Most are mekel. Most take the approach that it resembles the button a little bit more, but it should be noted that Rav Soloveitchik and others were concerned that it's a problem. There's a compromise approach. Because even if you're not machmir like Rav Soloveitchik to close a zipper, so one reason may be because most zippers that we use, don't stay closed very long. You zipper your coat, you unzipper it as soon as you get inside, and it's not cold anymore. So the fact that it's very temporary is definitely a sinful haka. The nafka mina would be as follows. I think Rav Schechter does not zipper his towels bag closed on Shabbos for this reason, because if he was using a zipper towels bag and closes it Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos morning, it's going to remain closed for an entire week until he needs it next Shabbos. So some people don't zipper their towels bag for that reason, or they have a flap over their towels bag, some other option. But that's, if one wants to at least be choshesh for that opinion, it's reasonable to be choshesh when we're talking about something which is not constantly zippered, unzippered. But again, the minhag olam is to be maker of ozer. Does have another situation where it would be relevant to be cognizant of this, and that is the zipping in the liner of a winter coat that you're going to leave there for the season, right? So you have a lining, you put it in November, December when it starts to get cold, and you don't take it out until the spring, till March, April, when you just want to use it to protect it from the rain or something like that, when you don't need the same heavy heat. So best to do that before Shabbos. Don't wait till Shabbos comes, according to this line of thinking, to zipper in the lining. Okay, that's the story of the zippers. Magnets. Magnets are discussed in the postgame, as we raised briefly last week. Now, common practice over here is also to be makel, despite the fact that some do recommend that magnets should not be used under the rubric of tofer. It's a chumrah. What are the reasons why we are makel? Why do most people use magnets on Shabbos? So, number one, there's a statement in the Minchas Chinuch that there's no tofer. Again, tofer is sewing. So, when you're regarding materials that cannot even be sewn if you wanted to, right? If you had a hard piece of metal, a magnet, right? There's no way to sew it. So attaching something, any adhesive or the like, to metal or to wood is automatically excluded. Metal and wood would not be subject to the Malach of Topher, and that's what you're talking about when you have your magnet. Bir Lacha does not agree with this. Bir Lacha does not agree that there's an automatic exemption just by virtue of the fact that the material is a hard surface. Now, you can't go all the way with this. We're saying that from this Minchas Chinuch, there's no tofer when it can't be sewn. We do know that medabik niaros, if you glue together pieces of paper end to end, so the Rambam says that that's a told of tofer. Okay, so even according to the Minchas Chinuch, that's going to be true because the materials in that case are still subject to the form of the av malacha. It's just that a different medium is used to connect them. You could sew together a piece of paper. That's not the normal way to do it. You'd probably do it with glue, unlike something which is solid, where it's not even an option to do it with the normal methods of sewing. Okay, another reason why we would make on magnets is because you can question whether the whole concept of magnetism is b'chol malach in the first place. So it's true, it's not shalkayama. Assuming the magnet on your refrigerator is not shalkayama. And we saw we're really supposed to be machmer l'chatchila, even if it's a temporary type of connection, temporary type of tofer. But here, it's clear that it doesn't resemble a kayama usage that might be misunderstood. We had a few examples of where we make exceptions and we allow a tefir shena shal kayama, when no one would look at that and mistake it for a legitimate stitch that's being made in a legitimate action of sewing. When that's the case, Right? Like the Ramah said, you shouldn't do it b'fnei Am Ha'aretz, because the Am Ha'aretz is going to think, if I'm allowed to sow, in this context, maybe I can sow in a Tfira Shel Kayama situation as well. The magnet won't create that type of impression whatsoever. And finally, another reason to be make on the magnet is because when you remove the magnet, you're not ripping anything. Similar to what Moshe Feinstein said about the Hagdara, of how you define the you find the Moloch in the first place, right? It's when I'm joining two things together such that when I take them apart, I'll be ripping into them, not just undoing the connection that I made. When we are using the magnet, that's pretty much what you're talking about. You're just undoing the connection at the point of contact. Shabbos Gelchasa writes explicitly that stapling, on the other hand, is a form of topher. This is an example of something that would most certainly rip if you pull apart two pieces of paper that have been stapled together. It would rip if you separated them. And in truth, the staple action and the result are really quite similar to stitching with a thread. It's just that your threads are metal. That's what makes up the staple, rather than using a thread out of cotton or something like that. On the other hand, even though we're machmir for a staple, poskim are generally makel about putting papers into a loose leaf binder. The binding, the ring that goes through the middle, through the holes that are in the papers, that's not topher. What about sticky notes or little flags that people use to mark off pages in the sefer? So, based on the above, it should come out according to Moshe that these should be okay. Because again, when you pull it off, it's like the magnet on the refrigerator. You're undoing the action in the first place. You can't even call it topher. When you separate them, there's no remnant. There's no catch. There's no tearing of the two items that were put together. So that would be the room to that would be the basis of the mekilim. You could be machmir and say that we saw in the context of the diapers when the adhesives are closed, to open it would be korea. But the counter argument is that the stickiness of the post-it note is so much more tenuous than the adhesive on the diaper. The diaper is really very strong, and if you pull it, sometimes you will actually rip into the diaper, and sometimes it even happens accidentally. You try to open up the diaper, or when you're putting on the diaper, to the ends get stuck, and you pull it apart, and it rips the diaper. So that would indicate that it's more of a legitimate form of topher, unlike the sticker, or the post-it note. Especially true if the nature of the sticker is that you put it on and take it off all the time, like a little colorful flag that you use as a bookmark. There's certainly room to be makel. Unlike leaving a flag that you leave there for a long time, that would be a good idea to avoid on Shabbos, but there's room to be makel. Okay, let's shift now to Korea, the sister malacha of Topher. The Mishnah says that in order to be chayav for Korea, you need to tear the item al manas litfor. In order for the malacha of Korea to be chayav, you need to tear the item al manas litfor, with the intent of sewing something up afterwards. So what does that mean exactly? In the Mishkan, there are many fabrics. There are fabrics that made up the perimeter of the Azara, of the courtyard of the Mishkan, and there were fabrics that lay on top of the Mishkan. And every once in a while, they would catch a snag, and they would get a hole in it, and needed to be repaired. So if you get a snag in a shirt or in a suit, you can stitch it up and close the hole with some thread, but it's not going to look so nice. Gemara says that in the Mishkan, where things have to be at their best, in Anias B'makom Ashiras, Chazal say that there's no room for patchwork, simple patchwork that a poor person would do as a method of fixing a structure that's supposed to be speaking royalty. It's supposed to be the house of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So therefore, how would they fix things that got a hole in them? They wouldn't just take some thread and close it up. They would tear the weaves above and below the hole to create a new smooth line and then stitch the two sides together. So if this was a tapestry hanging from the top to the bottom, and there's a hole here. So you could either do it in a cheap way by just stitching up the hole and closing it together, or you could cut out this line and cut out this line, so you have a chunk of fabric that's removed, and then add a new whole weave that would fit right in the open space and would fill up the gap. And this way you would not have have an unseemly hole that was stitched up. You'd have fresh lines in the weave that would be much less noticeable. So that's what it looked like in the Mishkan. However, there's a fundamental discussion in the Achronim as to how to interpret this qualification in the Mishnah that has to be al manas litfor. Does that mean that when I tear, in order to be chayiv, I need to literally plan on sewing it up again afterwards, like in the illustration we just gave? Or does it simply require that the korea be something that's productive? Is korea almanas lit for just something that has a positive, productive purpose to it, even if the toelis is something external to the garment? Or does it have to be almanas lit for that I'm going to tie up, I'm going to stitch up that which I just ripped? This would seem to touch on the machlokas of malchashim tzichul gufa. We're going to talk about this more tomorrow. But keep this in mind. What is malchashim tzichul gufa? If I do a malacha and the action is exactly like the one that's prohibited by virtue of how it was done in the Mishkan, but I don't do it for a productive purpose or for the same productive purpose that would have been done in the Mishkan. For example, let's say you dig a hole in the ground. So that's a malacha, that's chorish. You can't plant anything, and things were needed to be planted for the construction of the Mishkan. You can't plant anything, you know, unless you dig a hole in the ground and you put the seeds inside. But let's say I dig the hole, but instead of filling the hole with seeds and planting there, I take away the dirt, I bring it somewhere else because I have a project in a different location that I want to use it for. Or I don't use it at all. What is the halacha? So Rav Yehuda says, that's malacha she'ein nesrich l'gufa. I'm performing the malacha of digging a hole, but I don't need it for the hole itself. I'm taking the dirt away. If I take the dirt away, if I'm going to use the dirt, so then I'm not using the hole, and the malacha is the hole. So if that is the situation, Rav Yehuda says, you are still chayev, malacha she'ein nesrich l'gufa is still chayev. Rabbi Shimon says, malacha she'ein nesrich l'gufa is potter. We generally pass him like Rabbi Shimon, and that's what we assume. The vast majority of the Rishonim, for sure, passing like Rabbi Shimon, Malacha Shein Gufa is Aser, it's Pater, it's not a Malacha, but it's still Aser, and therefore cannot be done on Shabbos. So we have to see what happens if I tear something, I tear a garment, not for the purposes of tying it up again, that would be Malacha Shein Gufa. Question is, what if the positive purpose in that Malacha is for some other item or for some other context, not the item that I'm tearing right now.